Day of Advent, our theme is that Jesus was born to be our high priest and save us from our sins. So please listen for how that theme is reflected in our scripture readings. The law, Hebrews 10, 1 to 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will rewrite them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary.
Our second reading today is from Luke 2, verses 8 to 15. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' As we light the third candle of Advent, we look back on the coming of Jesus, our great high priest. He came into the world to save us from our sin, cleansing us once and for all and making us holy by his perfect atoning sacrifice. We also look forward to when he will come again and we will see the glory of God. In anticipation of that day, we seek to honor him by living righteous lives."
Good morning, everyone. Morning. So if you haven't done so already, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be going through verse 1 to 18 together this morning. So, these are my AirPods Pro 2 USB-C. Who has one of these? Nobody has one of these. So here's the thing. I'm not trying to flex my gadgets. Don't worry, I have a point. It took me a long time to actually, say, okay, I'm going to keep this forever or as long as I can. During the pandemic, I probably bought in return 10 to 15 pairs of earbuds and headphones, trying to find the perfect pair. I worked downtown, so I wanted decent noise canceling, but spectacular transparency. What is that? So for those who don't know what I'm talking about, noise canceling kind of, you know, removes most of the sound around you, you know, if you're on a train or if you're on a plane, bus, and transparency allows you to hear everything around you as like you're not wearing earbuds, pretty much. I tried for months. I would have one for a month. It would begin to hurt my ear or start sounding weird. And so many different things start happening. I would just return it back to Amazon. But someone told me at work, just try the AirPods. Just try the AirPods, man. They're expensive, but, you know, they'll do everything you needed to do, plus more. And so I hesitated because of the price. But eventually, I waited for a sale, and I got them. And it surpassed my expectations. Like I said, I've tried AirBuds from almost every brand because I love music. I'm a big music guy, and I love podcasts. And, you know, if you have an iPhone, this is probably the best one to get. And the confidence I have in these little pieces of plastic and metal, even though it does exactly what I want it to do, the satisfaction is mostly in the idea that I tried so much for months, and finally I found the one that worked. And like I said, it far surpassed my expectations. It works with everything I have, my phone, my laptop, my iPad, whatever it is. But when we zoom out now of my love for these AirPods, and we look at our own lives, we often run into the problem of trying to find that one thing that deals with one problem or another, or helps us work faster, work better, have more comfort. But with all our possessions, all our skills and passions, we cannot deal with the problem that plagues all of us in this room today. That universal problem that this book, Hebrews, that we're going through, is shouting at all of us. In fact, it's been the shouting fact of humanity for as long as we've been here, and to all of us. And that universal problem is sin. There's no gadget to deal with that problem. In fact, these gadgets can reveal how sinful we are sometimes. The problem of sin and the failure to remove our guilt has been here since the rebellion of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth, and he created living creatures, including human beings. And in all that, we found a way to sin against our gracious God who gave us life. In Genesis 8, verse 20, we see one of the first offerings of sacrifice to God from Noah after the flood. After all of life was wiped off the face of the earth by God's flood, other than those who were in the ark with Noah, God continually labels Noah as righteous. And yet, he must give a sacrifice to God. And what this is telling us is that he is still a sinner. There has to be bloodshed on an altar, an offering to God, because even after God wiped out all of creation, the problem of sin still existed. And that's how it was for thousands of years. God appointed priests yearly, sacrificing bulls, goats, the shedding of blood for the sins of his people, year after year, again and again. And today in Hebrews 10, we see this beautiful resolve. A beautiful resolve that is found only in Jesus Christ. One time only. So today's big idea is simply this, and we heard it already from the Murphys. And that is, Jesus was born to be our high priest and save us from our sins. Jesus was born to be our high priest and save us from our sins. For weeks now, you've been hearing this fact that Jesus is our high priest. You've been hearing why this is relevant, why this must be understood, and why this is a point of thanksgiving and of worship. And today, I will continue to dig into this solid golden fact and truth, that Jesus is our high priest. And I have 3 points for you this morning if you have your sermon notes. And our first point this morning is this. You can't outwork your sin. You can't outwork your sin. And I'm going to read verse 1 to verse 4 for you again. This is what God's word says. The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats. So this is a recurring truth you will hear from this pulpit till the day you die. Can't out-church or out-religion your sin. There is no number of times you could come here on Sunday or tithing you can give to pay off your sin or to satisfy God. If this is your first time here this morning or you've been coming here for many years, I want you to know this truth. Can't outwork your sin. This is what the author of Hebrews is showing us in these first four verses. It's been made clear in the last two chapters that the law requires a lot, but it's not sufficient for us. But it's also something good that points to something even more amazing. It is the shadow of good things to come. In verse 1, we see the law is a shadow of good things. So the law in its requirements, to obey all of God's commandments, and to be holy as He is holy, to love your neighbors as you love yourself, but also that sin requires payment, and that there is payment. This is good. It's a good thing. But it's only a shadow of good things. I think as Christians sometimes, we think that the world around us would be convinced, or if they're not convinced, they're crazy to not take advantage of this truth that we do nothing to save ourselves and all we have to do is believe to be saved. No. Mankind, for thousands of years, have created religions where it is a cornerstone of their faith that you have to work to be saved, to go to heaven. And even that is not guaranteed. This is the cornerstone of almost every religion and cult. But as followers of Yahweh in this room today, we confess this, that your law is beautiful, but we are sinful. We need a perfect substitute to live a life we cannot live, to pay the price we cannot pay. And this is what verse 1 is telling you. Endlessly, year after year, these priests in the temple made sacrifices to pay this price of sin. It's impossible. They couldn't outwork the price of sin. Worshippers, us, we cannot be made perfect by the work of these priests. And likewise, you cannot be made perfect by your work. The author goes on to tell us in verse 2, if it worked, wouldn't they have stopped with all the sacrifices then? What is the biggest sign of showing that a sacrifice works? A removal of guilt. My brothers and sisters, this is truly foundational in our faith, for all of us here. If indeed you call yourself a Christian this morning and you walk around with a guilt of your sin, I want to encourage you to re-examine your faith because it's that serious. I'm not up here telling you that you're not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But I am telling you that this is not a consistent fruit of a Christian. But here's the harsh reality that this author is telling us this morning. If guilt remains in your life, if that's something that you live in, then you are not saved. That's what the author is telling you. Or you misunderstand the point. And I pray that this is truly the case, that you are misunderstanding the power behind the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you. And to know and believe that a fruit of salvation is being guilt-free. No more guilt. This doesn't mean you won't feel shame when you sin against our God or our neighbor. And if we are consciously sinning, but we don't live in shame, and guilt, that's the difference. And we need to know the difference. We leave it behind. We repent of that sin and live in forgiveness. This is the fruit of the Christian, an amazing fruit and gift. My friends, this is why knowing Jesus as high priest matters. It matters. It matters. And it isn't for theological points or to show your friends how much you know about the Bible or you know more about the Bible than they do. This is for living. This is for living, my friends. Verse 3. For God's people who have to go to the temple year after year, it is a constant reminder of this fact that they cannot outwork their sin. And this unfortunate fact now that these priests cannot out-sacrifice the sins of the people. It says it's an annual reminder, a yearly reminder. What a sad reality that is. God has called these men to live in the temple. They are mediators between God and mankind when it comes to payment for sin. But the reality is, it doesn't pay the price that God is looking for. God is pleased in the moment, but it isn't what completes the transaction that God is looking for. This shadow of good things actually brings on more guilt because of what it reminds us of. No matter how many sacrifices are made via these priests in God's temple, we are still stuck in sin. And this is why verse 4 says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Impossible, my friends. Impossible. The blood of bulls and goats isn't a valid attempt to remove sin and guilt. It is, in fact, an impossible feat. There is no living being that can pay that price. No human, no animal. If the price is blood, your blood, the entire existence of human beings on earth since creation, if all their blood and all of our blood fill the room, it still could not pay the price of that sin. How crazy of a picture is that? That's crazy and gruesome. But my friends, there is blood that can pay it from only one Lord and Savior. The first you need to know this. The law brings guilt, not because the law is bad, but because we're bad. And that is the dilemma. I'm not up here trying to tell you to have shame or to guilt you, but to give you a reality check. This is our position before God without Christ as our sacrifice. As humans, it's easy to read these laws and think that God is unjust or being impossible. To think, why doesn't he just make the way easy for us? His law is beautiful, but we are corrupted sin. God has made the way easy for you through Christ, but we still resist. This is the absolute heartbreaking travesty in human history. That for the last 2,000 years, we have rejected the God who made the way simple for you. This is the depth and crushing weight of sin. Well, there is better news. And we are no longer stuck in this reality that these priests were stuck in because of Jesus. Praise God. And this leads to our second point this morning. Jesus was born to die for you. Jesus was born to die for you. And I'm going to read verse 5 and verse 11 for you this morning. It's too big. All right, so this is verse 5 to verse 11. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. In verse 5, the author starts off with this very important word when we see in the Bible. Therefore. Therefore, because the law is not sufficient, and therefore, because the law brings guilt, Jesus has come into the world. The incarnation of Jesus coming into this world as a baby through the Virgin Mary is indeed the heart and soul of the Christmas season, brothers and sisters. But it is more than a seasonal story, a seasonal Christmas story. It is the foundation of our faith. It is a gruesome yet beautiful picture of our freedom. Why gruesome? The Son of God came to earth in a human body, but to die a bloody death on a wooden cross, to be tortured and to be murdered. Therefore, because the law is insufficient and the blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sins, Jesus was born to die for you. In verses 5 to 7 here, Psalm 40 is quoted. And Pastor Steve preached on Psalm 40 this past summer as we spent some time in the Psalms. You can go to Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube to find these past sermons. And when the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 40, he doesn't just see the Davidic Psalms as an historical account of Israel's greatest king, but as a picture of something greater, mainly pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. And not just pointing, but Jesus speaking, which is phenomenal. This changes how we read the Psalms, especially when we run into a passage like this that quotes a piece of a psalm that isn't primarily about the Messiah, but shows us a passage from it and claims, "When Christ came into the world, he said," insert psalm passage. And in this psalm passage, we see clearly the incarnation of Jesus, the coming into the world to save sinners, a body prepared for the Son of God. Why? The God the Father is not pleased with these sacrifices that have been given to him, burnt offerings for sin that do not pay the price. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to pay that price, brothers and sisters. "Here I am," he says. Praise God for that. "Here I am. I have come to do your will, my God," Jesus says. What a wonderful and beautiful Savior we have, brothers and sisters. But the focus is not only on the incarnation of Jesus, but also on the picture of obedience from a son to his father, who knows that his father doesn't desire or is pleased by these sacrifices and offerings that have been given for thousands of years. but obeys by coming to do the will of his Father. And this is the point here that the author of Hebrews is making to all of us. As much as he is revealing to us the beautiful picture of the Christmas story, the incarnation of Jesus. Yes, it is a beautiful reminder for us this morning during this Christmas season. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Shout out to Pastor Steve. That's one of his favorite Christmas songs. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Praise God. This is what we're seeing here this morning. Jesus obeying his Father, coming to earth as a baby, born through Mary. But when the author of Hebrews gives us his breakdown now of Psalm 40 in verse 8 to 10, with the view of it pointing to the Messiah, he is giving us a picture of obedience of the Son to the Father. This is what he's saying. Jesus is telling us, these sacrifices do not please you, Father, even though they are in accordance to your law. But then the author of Hebrews shows us in verse 9, when Jesus says, here I am, I have come to do your will. It is to establish his covenant. Jesus sets aside the sacrifices of bulls and goats and establishes his own sacrifice. And that is the sacrifice of his own body. This is what he means by sets aside the first to establish the second. This is the will of God the Father, brothers and sisters. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to fulfill and obey the will of his Father. And then in verse 10, the author of Hebrews tells us that by this will, by doing what his Father has commanded him to do, through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, bloodied, beaten, and murdered, that we have been made holy. Church, if you are in Christ today, this is for you. I want you to repeat after me. We have been made holy. Repeat it after me. We have been made holy. Amen. That is a powerful truth, church. How? Through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Not twice, not three times, not year after year, once. One time. And because of this sacrifice, we are now made holy, guilt removed, one time for all sins. And in the words of Jesus Christ himself, it is finished. Verse 11. The endless and impossible task of these temple priests who does his duty day after day, again and again, but never gets the job done. This hopeless picture points to the greatest picture of hope in human history, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. The obedience of these priests are a picture of Christ's obedience, a picture of an impossible task pointing to only one man who can fulfill that task. Feel that weight with me this morning, church. Can you imagine day after day performing these duties, sacrificing bulls and goats, so much death, so much blood? And in verse 11 says, which can never take away sins. Feel the weight of that impossibility. You can't outwork your sin. But then Jesus was sent to die for you. He was born to die for you. Remember this morning. Once for all. Praise God. So we now know the law cannot save you, but Jesus was born to die for you as a perfect sacrifice once for all. So what does this mean for me now? This leads us to our third and final point. Forgiveness of your sins is found only in Jesus. Forgiveness of your sins is found only in Jesus. And I'm going to read the last few verses for you here, starting in verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit who testifies to us about this, first he says, this is the covenant I will make with them, that after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. For those of you in this room this morning who are skeptical of Christianity, or for those of you who are Christian, but you find yourself to be immature in your faith, this idea of forgiveness is often portrayed as a simple one. And we want to just avoid thinking deeply about this. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't think that is proper. And I believe that that is the feeding ground for immaturity and skepticism. When you say to yourself, I'm going to avoid thinking more deeply about these things. That is where the world and the devil is going to trap you. And you're going to fall for what Scripture says, every wind of doctrine. So these things are not all that simple. And yes, even though the gospel presentation we give is one of simplicity, it doesn't disqualify us from thinking deeply about our faith and acknowledging that even though we present it to ourselves and to others in a simple way, this isn't just for your pastors. It's not just for Steve to go in his room every day and think deeply and then the rest of you don't think deeply about it. No, it's for all of us. All of this is for us. It's for all of us to have. This right here that we're talking about this morning, this is not a simple thing. And this is what Hebrews has been challenging us with the entire time. This is why Pastor Steve mentioned to us about John Piper. John Piper said, I just avoid it because it's hard. It's not a simple thing to read that I've been forgiven. And it's a beautiful truth. But church, there's something behind all of this. And forgiveness is something we should think about deeply. How does this happen? Does God just randomly choose to forgive me? Is it enough to know that I'm forgiven and not know how? The author of Hebrews says no. It isn't a simple idea. It is one that challenges us to think deeply. And we should do that, church. One of the greatest words in the Bible is the word but. And in verse 11, we are given this sad picture of the priest who day after day, again and again, performs this religious ritual of sacrifices. And the result is no sin taken away. Then the author of Hebrews drops that amazing word in here in verse 12. But when this priest, DSV says, but when Christ had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, Jesus, our high priest, he is the mediator, the greatest priest, the priest of priests, who made the sacrifice that no other priest could make. One time, brothers and sisters, for all time, then something amazing happened. He sat down at the right hand of God. This is a picture of authority, but also something more amazing. It is finished. Sit down in victory. And this is also a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who appears to his apostles and then after ascends back into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God, his Father. Jesus did not stay dead after his sacrifice on the cross. He resurrected from the dead 3 days later. And then he sat down at the right hand of his Father. This is an essential part of our faith and understanding. Not only did Jesus pay the price for you, but he rules and he reigns by defeating sin and death. Then verse 13 says, he now awaits for his enemies to be made a footstool. What a picture that is, brothers and sisters. When Jesus returns, he won't be returning as a baby in a manger. It won't be Silent Night, and it won't be festive. For those who reject this one-time sacrifice, for those who think they can live their lives any way they want, and then at the end of life, misuse faith and forgiveness, it says here clearly, he is coming back to make his enemies his footstool. He will crush and stand on those who reject him. That's what that picture means. And that is a gruesome picture. This is a picture of authority, of God's wrath that awaits for those who see this sacrifice and spit on it in rejection. You need to know this morning. If you reject this morning, it doesn't change who Jesus is. He is still Lord. And you are either worshiping him at his feet or underneath his feet. I don't say this with excitement, or I don't say it lightly, but we worship a Lord and Savior who will do this. And his people will praise him in his mercy and grace and in his wrath. But my friends, all of you today is the day of salvation. Don't reject any longer. Repent today. Put your faith in Jesus, his one-time sacrifice for all time. Verse 14. The result of this sacrifice is perfection after this life. Forever, the author of Hebrews says. And in this life, we are being made holy, or in other words, sanctification. We are being sanctified. Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we receive eternal life. This is what it means to be made perfect forever. But you aren't perfect on this side. That is the reality. But you are being made holy. And there are many different ways that God helps us to see if we are living this life. And the greatest way that God helps you, Christian, this morning, is that he lives inside of you. We have God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us, making us holy, sharpening our faith, our boldness, our love, the fruits of the Spirit growing day by day. But in this passage here, the author of Hebrews says in verse 15, the Holy Spirit testifies to us about this, everything that has been shown to you this far. The author of Hebrews quotes Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 to 34 in the Old Testament, confirming the work of the Messiah, Jesus. The law will go from external to internal, but it will be lived out perfectly by Jesus, whose righteousness we receive through faith. We do nothing to earn this. We can't outwork our sin. And Jesus was born to die for us as a sacrifice. And the result is what? Through faith, God looks at us as though we have the same moral perfection as Jesus. What a reality that this is. And also shows the depth of sin. Because unfortunately, in our day and for all of history, many reject this truth. This entire passage so far also confirms this amazing truth to us, that the Old Testament in the Bible, it may not always explicitly point to, but it is a shadow of better things, and those better things are found in Jesus Christ alone. And what are those better things? In verse 17, the author of Hebrews continues to quote Jeremiah 31. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. through the sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, by God's grace, through the gift of faith given to us, we can have salvation. And the result is that it is not the shadow of good and better things. It is the better thing now. It is the good thing. And this is what verse 18 is telling us. Where there has been forgiven, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Praise God for that. If you believe in Jesus today, if you call yourself a Christian, this means one thing. Forgiveness of your sins is found only in Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven, brothers and sisters. And because Jesus is that sacrifice, no sacrifice is needed any longer. That's it. The process of this new covenant given to God's people is through the sacrifice of Jesus, which enables God to look at our sins and for Him to remove His judgment from us. My brothers and sisters, we need to know what a beautiful and weighty truth that is this morning. We don't deserve any of this. But how awesome is the love of God that we can partake in this free gift today. The free gift of faith. The free gift of this sacrifice. But what a cost it was. Where the God of life experienced death on our behalf. My friends, this is the foundation and core of the Christmas story. What the Murphys read this morning from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15, I'm going to read again, but specifically in verse 10 to verse 11. The angel speaking to the shepherds saying, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" And this is why our main idea this morning is Jesus was born to be our high priest, to save us from our sins. Brothers and sisters, He has done so. And He has done so perfectly. No flaw, no blemish. And we can be free from sin, free from guilt, free to hold on to this forgiveness forever, and free to cling on to Jesus this Christmas season. Amen? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this amazing truth and gift of Jesus Christ. I pray this morning for all of us in this room that as we enjoy so many good gifts of this Christmas season, of the festivities and friends and family, all good gifts, I pray that you would help us to see the greatest gift of all, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus and coming to earth as a baby through the Virgin Mary. I pray for all of us in this room this morning that we would be guilt-free and that we would take on the forgiveness of sins from Jesus. I pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.